Thank you. It is a real joy, a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to come to your place to listen. And again, we are grateful for God's love, His mercy, His compassion, and Jesus, the Lord Jesus, dying for our sins. He that knew no sin became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And the only way to be made righteous or right in the sight of God Almighty is through the blood of His cross. He that knew no sin, that's the only one that ever has been, ever could be. We were shaping iniquity and born in sin, born sinners, a fallen, depraved, Adamic nature. And beloved, we're shaping iniquity and born in sin. We have an unclean nature about us, but He had no unclean nature. He had a divine nature. He was God reincarnate in a human body. God became man. God Almighty chose the taste of His bitter cup and to pay the price, the ultimate price for our sins. And He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, the just for the unjust, the holy for the unholy, the righteous for the unrighteous. He might reconcile us back to God Almighty through the blood of His cross. Outside the shedding of the blood, the Bible said there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God when you get saved, it's settled and sealed, and you're preserved and kept by the power of God, preserved in Christ Jesus, and you have, thank God, everlasting life. He don't have any 30, 60, or 90-day plans. Now, I'm not talking about a case of the do-betters and turning over a new leaf and a case of the feel-goods or joining up with the church and being baptized in the watery grave and making yourself feel good about it. You do those kind of things, they make your conscience sort of feel good because you've done something you thought was good. And those acts aren't good, but if that's all you have, but just a case of the do-betters, you've turned over a new leaf or you've joined up with the church or you've been baptized in the water, you expect that to get to heaven, you're going to wind up dying in sin and going to hell. Jesus said you must be born again, not of a corrupt seed, but an incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Before you can ever get saved, you've got to know what it is that you need to do to get saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They can't hear without a preacher, and he cannot preach except he be sent. Beloved, God must deal with your heart. And He chose to do that by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. Thank God for the Word, the Bible. It's God's message to you and I as sinners. And we worship in iniquity and born in sin. From the womb we go astray at the call of a depraved, Adamic nature. But He knew no sin. He wasn't born by the will of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, but of the Holy Ghost of God. God Almighty got in the womb of a virgin, placed the holy seed in her, beloved. And He was born. That is the Savior, the Son of the living God. He took our place at Calvary. He was bruised for iniquities and the chastisement of our peace was and is upon Him. And by His stripes only can you be healed. That's not fleshly healing. That's healing of the soul. That's why He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. That's why He died on our behalf and in our place and became sin for us who knew no sin, who might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you get to heaven, you'll have to experience the new birth. And it doesn't come by a case of do-betters, water baptism, or what it is that you esteem to be something good that you've done to obtain this great salvation. Beloved, it's already been paid for in full. The only thing you can bring on your behalf as a sinner is a broke heart and a contrite spirit. Remorse, I'm talking about genuinely broken, contrite, and with a repentant heart, giving up oneself and asking God to have mercy upon you as a sinner and call on Him as such and to save you, forgive you, have mercy upon you, and to forgive you of your sin and accept Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And beloved, when you do that, I'll promise you, I'll guarantee you, the old man will die, the old man will be crucified, and the old man buried with Him, and raised up a new man in Christ Jesus. The Bible said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away, all things become new to you when you get saved. I'm talking about newness of life, not a case of the feel good, the do betters. I'm talking about having a personal experience in grace, and not being born again out of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. When you get saved, He puts His nature in you. The Bible said any person without the Spirit of Christ is none of His. That's an automatic. When you get saved, you get your sin forgiven, you're baptized into the body of Christ. That's a spiritual baptism, by the way, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Now, there's many baptisms You can look over the book of Hebrews if you want to. Chapter 6, verse 2, it talks about the doctrines of baptisms. All types of baptisms mentioned in the Bible. There's not but one baptism. It's essential salvation. That's a baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body. And beloved, that transpires, it takes place when you get born again, not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He gets alive in you, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible said, any person without the Spirit of Christ is none of his. It's totally, absolutely, and positively impossible to be saved, loving him, not be living inside of you. You cannot be a Christian. You can't qualify to be a Christian. You may call yourself a Christian, but beloved, you're not a Christian. Christ is born in you. Jesus said you must be, you've got to be born again. That is not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. When you get saved, your newness of life. The old person died, the old man's crucified, and a new man born in you. That's an automatic. If you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, it's evident you've never been saved. Beloved, that's what the book said, the Bible said. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, a new creature, old things pass away, all things become new to you. And any person without the Spirit of Christ is none of his. When you get saved, that's what he does to you and for you. He baptizes you into his body. And for him to do that, you've got to die, beloved, yourself. You've got to give up self. I don't mean physically die, kill yourself. I'm talking about give yourself up and bring your broke heart, your contrite spirit to him and call on him as such to have mercy upon you, a sinner. Not tongue in cheek, mind in mouth, but heart. Now the heart's not this pump, this muscle. It's physical heart that pumps the blood. The heart is the eternal part about you, the invisible part inside you, man, soul, spirit, and body. Inside the soul, there's an eternal spirit, beloved. And that's where you're dead in trespass and sin. There must be an operation performed on you, beloved, to quicken you, make your life translate you, and bring you out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. You must be born again, not of a corrupt seed, but an incorrupt seed, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And when that happens to you, there's an automatic, thank God, turn around. The Bible said, therefore, if any person be in Christ, a new creature, old things pass away, all things become new to you when you get saved. What a joy, what a blessing, what an honor it is to know him as my personal Savior. Now, I knew about him from a little bitty boy. I've told it many times. My mother introduced me to him. I knew he was alive. I seen Jesus in my mother. I knew Jesus was the Son of God. I knew that he died for my sin. I knew God raised him from the dead. But I run from that. And beloved, I run in the flesh for up to I was 23 years old. And when I got sick of self and tired of my rotten ways and my sins, then I gave up on it, beloved, and brought my broke heart to him. I asked God to have mercy upon me. My mouth wasn't doing any talking. My heart was doing all the speaking. For it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. And beloved, I knew I was a sinner. And I yielded my will to the will of God. I really didn't know how to pray. I just brought my heart. God understood what I wanted, what I needed. Like he said, the psalmist said, this poor man cried, beloved, I was poor and needy, I was defeated, I was overwhelmed. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry, thank God, and delivered him out of all his trouble. Almost 50 wonderful years. What a great salvation. What a pure, perfect, complete salvation. And the Bible said we're complete in him. The Bible said the spirit of the just man made perfect. He's perfected my spirit. If he weren't perfect inside me now, beloved, he couldn't live there. The only reason it's perfect or clean is because of his atoning blood. Outside the shedding of his blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us, thank God, from every sin you've ever committed when you get saved. It's forgiven and forgotten. And in God's seal of forgiveness, never to be brought to his remembrance anymore. What a great Savior. What a great salvation, beloved. You don't have to worry about holding on and holding out. If we had to keep ourselves after we got saved, we'd wind up going to hell. You can't save yourself. You can't keep yourself. You're wretched and rotten. Your flesh is, beloved. It's depraved and it's vile. It's wicked, beloved. You can't handle sin. Sin will handle you. The only way to overcome temptation is sin, and to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the root of the darkness of this world, beloved, against satanic force of hell itself, beloved. And there's superior to you and I. We cannot match that. We cannot go up against and overcome that. We must resort to, beloved, lean on and trust in the Lord and let Him be our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Thank God, I'm glad I've got somebody who's watching over me. I'm glad I've got a great intercessor who's in heaven itself on the real mercy seat, interceding for saints according to the will of God, and can be touched with the feet of our infirmities and all points tempted as we are, thank God, yet without sin. He's the sinless one. That's why He's the Savior. That's why He's the Messiah. That's why He's the Son of the living God. That's why He got up from the dead. Beloved, the grave couldn't hold Him. Death and hell couldn't hold Him. And up from the grave, He arose. He arose a victor over the dark domain. He lives forever. And the Scripture says, and the song says, and He reigns, reigns, reigns. He's the ruling and the reigning Christ. Nobody's going to take His place. There is no substitute for Him, beloved. He is the great Alpha, the great, great Omega, beginning and end, the first and last. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He has the unchangeable priesthood. Thank God. He's on the real mercy seat in heaven itself, on the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints according to the will of God. What a great Savior. He represents me in heaven. If I didn't have a representative, beloved, as holy as God is, even though even the heavens are unclean in His sight, I'd have no hope whatsoever. But beloved, He is the blessed hope. He's my hope, thank God, and I have this hope embedded in my soul. Yes, sir, I have the blessed hope. Every man had this hope in him. He said, purified himself even as he is pure. I knew about the blessed hope when I got saved. But then at 23 years old, I brought my broke heart, my contrite spirit. I gave up my will to the will of God. I got sick of self and tired of sin, beloved. I was defeated. I was overwhelmed with sin, beloved. And He heard my feeble cry. I said, before I'll say again, my mother said, honey, you want to pray? I said, I don't know how to pray. I wished I did, but I don't. But God gave me that prayer. All I needed to do was bring my broke heart, my contrite spirit, yield my will to the will of God, and call on God to have mercy upon me, a sinner. I didn't have any problem knowing I was a sinner, the life I lived. I knew I was a sinner, beloved. I knew I needed saving, and I come to the right source. When I did, I brought my broke heart and my feeble prayer. Such as it was, He understood me. He knew me. He saw me afar off. Prayer caught up with me. Thank God. Somebody's got to be praying over souls before they can get saved. They must be a harvest. And the Bible says, we that are saved, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The fields are white and ready to harvest, but the labors are few. God have mercy. We got all this fictitious, phony so-called pastors and preachers and all these religious nuts in the pulpits and on TV. God have mercy. It's sickening, beloved. It's disgraceful. It's abominable. It's ungodly. But God knoweth them that are His. They got a special hot seat in hell for playing games and making mockery. They'll burn in a place of eternal torment and damnation. You don't have to go there with them. Get away from them, beloved, and get the truth so you can be saved. And I see my time is just about gone. I want you to write to us and pray for us, and then God bless you. Pray in His name. Amen.